Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. We are joining you from the holy masjid of Jamkaran. It is the 11th of the holy month of Ramadan. And you brothers and sisters are in our prayers. Actually, before we started this session, I did 2 units of prayer for all you brothers and sisters that are watching. I know that all your hearts are here. This is the center of the remembrance of Imam Mahdi in Iran. Many people travel from all over the country of Iran, from all over the world, to participate in praying for Imam Mahdi, praying for his return. So this is a holy place. We have tawfiq from Allah that we can join you from here, Masjid al-Jamkaran. Our discussion is about living an Islamic lifestyle. As you know, a lifestyle is multiple and abundant practices. When practices are plentiful and they become habitual, that makes who we are, that makes our lifestyle. And these actions are based on our attitudes, our beliefs, our worldview. So for us to live a true Muslim life, for us to change ourselves during the month of Ramadan, a month where Allah has allowed us to dedicate ourselves to Him, we ask ourselves, what are the primary foundations of an Islamic life? What should we focus on? I want to be a good Muslim, but what should I focus on? The answer to this question is in one sentence. An Islamic lifestyle is the embodiment of Tawheed, is the embodiment of the oneness of God in our lives. If you want to ask, who is a true Muslim? You must ask, who is a true Muwahid? Who is a true monotheist? Unfortunately, many of us that are raised in the West, the idea of God that we have is not necessarily correct with the teachings of Islam. Many brothers and sisters, or many people throughout the world, they believe in a creator. Actually, if you even ask the polytheists, and some of the verses in the Holy Quran address this, that when you ask them about Allah, basically it says, yes, they believe in Allah, they believe in a creator, but they don't necessarily believe in a Rabb, in a Lord. So who, first of all, is this God that we are seeking to, that we are talking to, that we are fasting for, and it has in some of the traditions, that fasting is for me. So who is this Allah that we are fasting for? We first start with, when we talk about Tawheed, we first start that this is the primary understanding and knowledge that we have. When we look at some of the traditions, أَوَّلُ دِينَ مَعْرِفَتُهُ. The first part of religion is understanding Him. He is the first part of religion. مَعْرِفَتُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَ أَعْلَى الْمَعْرِفِ in some of the other traditions. The understanding or the cognition of God is some of the best, is one of the best understandings or ideas that we believe in. So the first concept comes from within us when we want to explore who God is. All of us believe in God from within. All of us believe in God with the mind, with the beautiful mind that Allah has given us. We come to the conclusion that He must exist with strong philosophical debates, that this world cannot have created itself by itself, that this world needs a necessary existence to give life to the unnecessary existences. So therefore, or possible existences. Therefore, the first step is using our aql, the first step is using our intellect, that we ask ourselves, did we create ourselves? We look at the universe, we look at all the signs of God, and to say, did this all come about by themselves? Or is there a wise creator? Is there a Lord that must have created and sustained this? There must be a necessary existence that depends on nothing for its own existence. The first step is aql. The second step is to come to the Quran and to come to the narrations to understand more about Allah. Once there was a world gathering between other religions, and there was a Shia Muslim scholar, and there was a Christian scholar and a Jewish scholar, and they were talking about the concept of God. And the Christian scholar was a philosopher more, and he said that you can understand God only by your aql and intellect, and you do not need the scripture. The Jewish scholar was a scripturalist, and he believed that you need the scripture to prove God. You need the scripture to identify God. So they asked the Muslim scholar, the Shia scholar, what is your opinion? How can you come to know God? Is it through the intellect or is it through the scripture? And he answered that it is actually both, that we both need the intellect first to understand that there is a God, and then to understand more detail about exactly who this God is and who this God isn't, we come to the scripture. Look at Dua Joshan Kabir that we'll be reading inshallah in the following nights, that there's about 1,000 attributes of who this God is. Look at the narrations from Imam Ridha alayhi salam, from Imam Adi alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, from other imams. And they tell in detail about who this Allah is. And one of the best sentences we have in the Quran is, Laysa kamithlihi shay, nothing is like him. So we come to the teachings of the Quran. We come to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt to identify who this God is. Even many Muslims sometimes are confused about who God is. Unfortunately, some groups of Muslims, they think that you can see God in dreams. They say that you can see God in the hereafter. This debate is about Ru'yatullah, that if you can see God or not. And we as Muslims in the Quran, as we as followers of teachers of the Ahlul Bayt, we come to the conclusion, they teach us that you cannot see God. He sees you, you cannot see God. That in some of the traditions that some of our Sunni brothers have, in Bukhari they say that God has created Adam in his own image. When asked from the imams and the narrations rejected this. And they said, this is not true. They taught us that you cannot see God in your dreams. You cannot see God in the hereafter, but you see God and witness him with your heart, with your spirit, which we'll talk about later on, which is called al-ilm al-huduri, meaning by knowledge, by presence, that you will be able to witness Allah. And we'll talk about that, inshallah, in the following nights, inshallah. So that mindset that we have, that worldview that we have, the concept of God that we have, is one that should be truly separated from any type of corporeal or body form that some sects or some religions have. And this is one of the most important things. Laysa kamithlihi shay. Nothing is like him. More about the life that a Muslim has and the life that he should have. We come to the conclusion that Allah should have also unity in his thought, that his essence is one, that his attributes, knowledge, life, power, that these attributes are actually God himself, that he is not separate than his attributes. This is another step of Tawheed, of oneness of God, that we believe, and that some of our other Muslim brothers, some of them believe that actually the attributes of the essence are actually separate than his essence. But we say, no, he is those attributes. So these are debates that we need to research more. We need to think about, what kind of God do we believe in? A God that is absolutely one, a God that is separate from any type of comparison to man, and a God that we rely on for everything, a God that is our Lord, a God that is our sustainer. At the end, I'd like to finish with this story that once one of the great scholars, Ayatollah Sahib Kifaye, or Akhund Khorasani, he was a great teacher of Usul, of Islamic jurisprudence, of Islamic roots of jurisprudence. And once his students came to him, a Sayyid, a scholar came, and a person came with him that wanted to give khums, that wanted to give his charity or the wajib taxes to Ayatollah Sahib Kifai, which is a marja, who lived around 200 years ago. So that person came and gave him his money, and the students were very happy, actually. They said that, we're going to get some money now, because the marja, the mujtahid, sponsors the students, just like other areas where the teacher sponsors the students. In the hawza, the teacher sponsors the students. So then the Sayyid actually wanted something to talk about with Ayatul Sahib Kafayim. And he was wondering, what was that? And there, he asked Ayatul Sahib Kafayim, asked him to write it down on a piece of paper so people would not hear. He looked at it and was upset. He looked at it and frowned. When he frowned, he then gave him whatever money that was given as charity that was going to be dispersed to the students. He gave him all of that money to that Sayyid. So then he got up and left, and the students became very upset. They said that, how come you gave all the money? Say, we were poor, we needed money. You, what about us? Forget us. You yourself are living in poverty. What about yourself? You gave him all the money. What happened? There Sahib Kifaya began to cry and began to weep. And they thought that he had offended him, that they had offended him, but they didn't. They said that, what happened? Why are you upset? He said that actually this person, he was had two sons, and these two sons needed to get married. I gave him this money. When I looked at it, I got upset first because I asked him, how much do you need for their marriage? And he says, this much, but that wasn't enough. So I gave him all the money. But why I'm crying is that the reason that I'm crying is that I have been teaching you for many years, and that you have not learned the first thing, awwaluddin ma'rifatu, the first part of religion is knowing God. You have not known that Allah gives you your sustenance. You have not known that Allah will take care of you. He has taken care of me when I've come to Najaf for so many years. Why do I need to be worried about what He will give me in terms of sustenance? So inshallah, this month of Ramadan, we can be true muwahhids, which is the embodiment of tawheed. This is an Islamic lifestyle, and we can trust and believe in Allah, the One, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.